All right, welcome back to Blair and Barker. We are a little more than an hour and a half away from the first game of the Philly series. I'm looking forward to this series.
You are?
Well, I'm looking forward to it because I like the pitching. I'm interested in seeing how the Jays, how the bats are going to travel against this pitching and this ballpark as well. I'm just kind of intrigued.
It's fair.
Might be a little bit of an acid test for them. The Jays are 38-30 going into this game tonight. Philly is 39-29. They are 3-7 in their last 10 games. Let's bring in Ruben Amaro Jr., former Phillies GM. He's host of the Philly Show and Phillies broadcaster. Ruben, thanks so much for joining us on Blair and Barker today. Always good to talk to you. And we certainly do appreciate your time. First question, I noticed there was on social media today, there's a little footage of Bryce Harper taking ground balls at first base. How close is he to returning?
You know, wrists are very, very strange, and they're not easy. But I'm not quite sure how it's going to work. But it seems like it's going to be fairly slow. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not sure whether or not it's going to be something that's going to be short-term or long-term. The fact that he's taking ground balls is a good sign. But until he's really swinging the bat, you just won't know.
Ruben, you know, when you was coming on and I was digging into some Philly stats, and I looked at a surprising one when I saw that there's only one guy on the team with double-digit homers, and they are ninth in baseball in runs. How are they doing that?
Well, they're doing it because they're just not getting a whole lot of offensive production. They really, you know, right now it's Trey Turner. I think that Alec Bohm has sort of stepped it forward a little bit. He's really been swinging the bat better. But their slug has been down. You know, Kyle Schwarber, when he goes, when he sort of gets in those little ruts, that really shuts down their power. They haven't really produced a whole ton of power. Trey Turner hasn't hit a ton of home runs. They haven't gotten a lot of home runs from Castellanos. They haven't gotten a whole lot of home runs from Alec Bohm. And so, you know, and Bryce Harper had sort of a slow start this season. Yeah, I think it's a much more talented and more powerful team than they've shown, but they just haven't produced as of late.
Okay, do they need a eighth inning guy or an extra bat more?
Ooh, I think they need both equally.
Both.
I think to me, yeah, I just don't think that their offense is as deep as they would have liked. I think that's an issue. I'm always about pitching, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always about pitching. And I think that they certainly do. I know that they're trying with Taijuan Walker to see what he can be as far as, you know, somebody who's a high leverage type of a reliever. But I think that they're probably going to need another guy to help balance them out a little bit. I think that Romano had a really tough start, and he's been sort of swimming uphill. Kirk Ringsman pitching much better lately. Strom has been good. But when you lose a guy like Alvarado who's pitching as well as he was, then that really puts a dent in their depth in that bullpen.
How would you compare Ranger Suarez to Christopher Sanchez?
Well, they're different types of pitchers, but they're equally effective. Christopher Sanchez has a bigger arm, less of a repertoire, fastball, slider, changeup. And, you know, Ranger Suarez can pretty much throw the entire kitchen sink at you. Really, it's about, for Sanchez, his development of his command over all of his stuff has been a remarkable transition from where he was a couple of years back. He's got one of the best changeups in all of baseball. I think one of the most effective ones. You can get ground balls because he's got a good life on that sinker. But they got three really, really good left-handers. You're not going to see Lizardo, but he bounced back really well. But they've got three excellent left-handed starters. Suarez is the kind of guy that, you know, if one pitch is not working for him that day, in other words, his changeup isn't working, then, you know, he'll utilize, you know, a little bit of a slider or a curveball or a cutter. So he has the ability to do a little bit more pitching than does Sanchez, although Sanchez has gotten better and better.
What makes Wheeler great?
I just think it's his consistency and his will to be the best. I think he wants to be the best. He has the most consistent delivery I've seen since, you know, guys like Curt Schilling, Roy Halladay, the guys I've seen up close. The delivery's phenomenal. You know, you talk about the tunneling, quote-unquote tunneling. His ability to throw all of his pitches from the same slot is really remarkable. And he's another guy that just tries to get a little bit better every year. So he, if something's not working for him, he'll, you know, he found the sweeper. You know, now he's throwing a splitter, mixing in a cutter now from time to time. He has the ability to find pitches that work for him and to try to improve on them year in and year out. I think he's, if he's not the best starting pitcher in all baseball in the last 2 or 3 years, I'd be hard pressed to find somebody more consistent.
Yeah.
Jeff Hoffman's had some struggles with the Jays. He got off the good start. He's been inconsistent. Does that surprise you that he's had a difficult, should I say difficult time transitioning into full-time closer's role?
Yeah, that's a word. That's a good one.
Yeah, more difficult. Yeah. I think more difficult than a lot of us thought.
Yeah.
Does that surprise you?
Well, you know, this is a guy who came from a long ways away, man. I mean, this is a guy who started and got his opportunity because he threw batting practice against Bryce Harper and was really impressive. All of a sudden now, you know, he becomes a real guy. And so he hasn't been doing it for that long. And so the added pressure of signing a contract in a role that you really have not done for all that long, and he really wasn't the everyday closer for the Phillies because they utilized him in pockets. He'd sometimes pitch in the seventh, he'd sometimes pitch in the eighth, and now you're sort of relying on him to be the guy. It's different. Those last three outs are no joke. Mm-hmm. And so when you're being relied on to do that consistently day in and day out, it's a different animal. He's got good stuff. He's got good makeup. But, you know, unless you've been doing it for years and years and years and comfortable in your own skin doing it, it's a tough thing to do. I think he's come a long way. I mean, he, to his credit, man, for him to be where he is, originally being drafted by Toronto as a starter and then sort of bouncing around, getting hurt and sort of reinventing himself, you got to give him a lot of credit. And I think as he does it more and more and he has his ups and downs, I think they'll smooth out and he'll become more consistent because his stuff's damn good.
Yeah, it's great. When Nola is healthy, when Harper's healthy, is this team better than it was last year?
Better. Yeah, I think it is. And when you talk about better, the only reason why I would say it's better, it's because of Luzardo. You add Luzardo to that rotation and Harper's back. I don't know that there's a deeper rotation in baseball. They got the kid Abel throwing pretty well for them. His last outing not as great, but they also got the kid Painter coming. Mm-hmm. You're talking about six or seven guys deep. And I'm talking about guys who can stop a game. I mean, they can throw a quality start on you pretty much from the top of the rotation to the back of the rotation.
Is the lineup good enough to make adjustments from, say, playoffs of last year? You know, rumblings last year, they were all or nothing, right? You couldn't take what the pitcher gave them, right? If they were throwing them away, you take the single the other way, right? You don't have to try and take the big daddy hack all the time. You think they can do that this year?
So the thing that they've done, if you look at some of the numbers, they're one of the better baseball teams in on-base percentage. Their batting average has gone up. They've made some of those adjustments. I'm not sure if making those adjustments have brought some of their slug down. That's a possibility. Mm-hmm. That's also a theory that maybe you want to kick around. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know that that's the case, but they have put together better quality. Their swing rates in the strike zone are better. Their swing decisions are better as a team. They just haven't been impacting the baseball with the consistency on slug that they have in the past. I think all of that stuff's sort of a transition. You saw what Kyle Schwarber did over the last few years. He went from being a slugger to being a really good hitter. And he made that adjustment. It's a tough thing to do, and I think it's something that, you know, they're all sort of transitioning to try to do that.
Yeah, everybody healthy in the rotation, World Series. Who gets the ball in game two?
Wow, that's a heck of a question. I think it's the guy who's pitching the hottest. I really do, or the guy who's lined up.
Yeah.
Because you can argue that there could be four number twos. I mean, Wheeler's one clearly, and then after that, I mean, with the way Lizardo's pitched, now that he's tightened up that, I mean, he was basically tipping his pitches with the way he was allowing some of the you know, base runners and or hitters to see what he was throwing. I think that. As I mean, he was the best left-hander, and maybe other than Skubal, was one of the best left-handers in baseball until he had those two really, really rough outings, historically rough outings. You know, there was an argument that this guy might start the NL All-Star game the way he was throwing in his first, you know, 11 outings.
Yeah, is Schwarber a Philly forever, you think?
I sure hope so for the fan base, because he sort of fits this blue collar city so well. He's a great leader. Great. You know, he's gotten better and better over the years, but you know how free agency is. Yeah. I mean, the man has earned the right to decide where he wants to go. I do think that the Phillies want him to be a Philly for life. But they've got a lot of long-term contracts that they're dealing with. And in particular, they've got, you know, Harper and Turner in long-term contracts. How long do you go? How much flexibility do they have? I do think it will end up playing out. But it's, you know, wouldn't be the first time a guy becomes a free agent and signs back with the team. They did it with JT Realmuto. Mm-hmm. It's most recently, and it's not out of the realm of possibility it might happen as well. Who knows? I think that there's mutual interest in getting something done, but again, until the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, there's nothing doing until that happens.
Yep.
Ruben, really good of you to join us today. Thanks so much, man.
Awesome.
Appreciate
stuff.
The insight.
Yeah, have fun.
Yep. Be well.
Always a pleasure. It'll be a fun series. It's two teams that pretty darn good, and I'll tell you, that Toronto team, they're hot as hell.
That's awesome.
They got it going on right now.
Yeah,
they
See
do.
See you, Ruben.
Take care, Ruben. Be
Thanks.
Well.
All right, guys.
All right. That's Ruben Amaro Jr. Further to your question of Ruben, this is quite telling. The Phillies, they're 25th in the majors in home runs by right-handed hitters.
Wow.
They're on pace for 64 home runs this year. They've averaged 102 homers from righties over the past four seasons. They haven't, the last time they did not have a right-handed hitter with 20 home runs, excluding the COVID year, was 2015. It's an interesting, Matt Galba, The Athletic, has an interesting article where he looks ahead to the Phillies trade deadline and talks about their outfield. It's one of the worst defensive outfields in baseball.
Yeah.
But this is something. Talking about, and maybe this is a cautionary tale. He looks at the free agent outfielders this past winter. And think about this. Anthony Santander, Tyler O'Neill, Michael Conforto, Jurickson Profar. I mean, he's suspended, obviously. They've all struggled for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You can make the case that the best free agent outfielder so far this year has been Harrison Bader.
Mm.
It really is. And you know, they're talking about Max Kepler in particular. It's remarkable. They just... that gets to your point about a lack of power. Like,
yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah, Castellanos has six homers. Baum has six homers. Trey Turner has seven. I wonder about the defensive woes, talking about moving him to
Trey
center
Turner.
Field. Or yeah, like there's yeah. – it's just I just don't know. It's very hard to read that team because of how – it's almost like they don't care about the regular season. And it's almost like they don't care about winning
point.
The division.
That is a great point.
Yeah, it's almost like if you don't have the best record in the National League, which is a lot of the times, most of the time, the Dodgers, why does it really matter?
Yeah.
Like it's sort of where they're at, right? They're just trying to get everybody healthy. They're trying to get everybody mechanically sound enough listening to Ruben, right? It's about right on base percentage. When's the last time you heard about the Phillies being on base percentage?
I was thinking
that
too.
Because of what they were going through last year in the playoffs, right? It was all or nothing. How do they win games against good pitching that don't give up homers? Like, I just don't know. It's just very hard to talk about the Phillies. Everybody knows about the rotation. I would think they go out and try and figure out the eighth inning. You know, can Romano, you feel comfortable if you're a Phillies fan giving him the ball in the World Series in the ninth inning with the lead eye?
I didn't feel comfortable giving him the ball in the ninth inning in the AL playoffs. It's funny when you look at the Phillies. And you were talking, I was doing, reading more stuff. I mean, there's just some, they got really bad offensive numbers. That's the only way to put it. And they're, you know, they're up there in years. It's not like these are young guys necessarily that are going to bounce back. Now, it helps when you've got the starting pitching you have.
Yeah.
But it's not like they've got an over, and I think, I don't know what's going on with Andrew Painter. Like, you hear about Andrew Painter all the time, But other than that, I don't know if there's much in that minor league system they could put together to make some sort of transformative deal. And we talked about this. It's going to be hard to get an impactful bat at the trade deadline this year.
Yeah, and that's why it's almost like you're trying to get everybody healthy for the playoffs. Sure. You don't really care about what's going on, right? The Mets are better than they are this year in the regular season.
Did not sound like Bryce Harper is a week away, did it? From what Ruben Amaro said.
I mean, it's the risk, right? Again, it gets back to that. Why? What do you care? That's the point, right? It's like, do I care what he does regular season? Do I only care like August, September, rolling, running into October, right? I mean, the Mets are better than they are. The Cubs right now are better than they are. The Giants are probably better than they are. Are the Padres better than the Phillies right now? Right? Mm. They probably right now might be the sixth best team in the National League. It's just like, and they still got 39 wins, and they're in second place. Like, it's just like, because of your pitching, you always have that to lean on. You'll figure out what you're trying to do with your offense. You'll figure out what you're doing with your eighth and ninth inning spots to figure out how to get hot enough in August and September to be running into the playoffs. That, for me, is sort of the Phillies' way. We saw it last year. Like, why are you giving this guy days off? Like, it's just very weird. Mm-hmm. And then you start looking at big picture, and now you see older guys. It's World Series or bust. Now, all of a sudden, the Mets are better, the Padres are better, the Cubs are better. Like, you have more competition. You know, the Braves have taken a step back. Like, it's like you got that president who'll do basically whatever it takes to try and, you know, run into the playoffs. So, do you worry about the Phillies? No. Are the Phillies a great team? Not for me. You know,
I'm a little disappointed in them. I mean, I thought they would be
I'm disappointed in guys like Trey Turner. I mean, dude's got 7 homers. I know he's hitting over. I think he's hitting over 300.
Yeah, I thought they'd be. I just thought they'd be a better team.
It's that mindset of trying to do this in Philadelphia. I mean, it's a thing. I mean, I know they clapped for him last year. Had a lot to do with Stark. You know, everybody root for him, make sure he's. But it's just, you know, again, how do they handle this? How do they handle it in the playoffs? Right? I mean, playoffs, they don't play very well at home. Like, it's like they got teams on the ropes and they don't finish the business. Like, it's like, who are the Phillies? Are the Phillies good enough? Are they in the mix? I know they are because of their rotation, but and they're going to try and add to it, it sounds like, because of Nola. Is Nola any good?
So right? He's got a stress reaction in his ribs, so he's not going to throw for 2 more weeks. And this was after he's not throwing for 2 more weeks. Then he's going to be reevaluated. I mean, he's essentially not even playing catch for the next 2 weeks, according to Rob Thompson. So I'm just looking at this, reading the article, their timetable. Like, you're talking a long time before he's not a long time, but again, it's not necessarily a week to week thing. He hasn't pitched since May 14th.
They don't really need to pitch. Have 39 wins, they're in second place.
Yeah. I know.
I mean, they're like, I don't know. I just don't know what their goal is in a regular season. Is it to win the East? Is it to be the best team, have the best record?
I think you're right. It's to get everybody healthy and get everything lined up for the postseason. I think that's as long as you make the playoffs.
And other than the Dodgers, it's okay, I think, sometimes to be the wild card team. I just think some of the teams, right? I mean,
I don't think it's a, it's a, it's odd, but this may be the one sport where there have been a lot of wild card teams that have gone on to win the World Series. It just, at times, it doesn't seem to matter. It just doesn't seem, and I think that comes down to, frankly, pitching. If you've got good starting pitching, it's going to travel. Like, if you're the Phillies, do you really care if you have home field advantage or not? I mean, Wheeler, Sanchez, Suarez, Nola, if he's healthy. Like, pitching travels, man.
Yeah, and I don't think the teams you're facing, you know, most of them teams will have some veteran leadership who, on the road, who cares?
This is very good. We have Jeff Hoffman's media availability from today, and let's play it.
I know you've just faced these guys 8 weeks ago. Is it a different emotions coming into this ballpark?
Definitely. It's hard not to be with the type of energy and you know, everything the fan base brings to this place. And I'll do my best to keep them in check, but no promises.
What did you do on your home day?
We kind of like hung out, walked around the city a little bit. Got some dinner with a couple of guys over there last night, so it was good to catch up. But we just saw them, you know, so recently, so wasn't like it felt like I've seen them, you know, a lot. And I also keep in touch with a lot of them on a daily basis, so it feels like this is the home.
You used to be in the lower bullpen out there. Have you thought about what it's going to be like being up with personal fans and what that'll be like tonight?
I think it'll be interesting. I can't wait. When I was here as a visitor previously, I was always a starter, so it'll be cool to get to really experience the bullpen for the first time as a visiting player.
What type of reception are you expecting whenever you come into the game?
I don't know. I'm not. I know they want the Phillies to win. I'm expecting to probably hear some boos, and that's fine. Like I said, I appreciate the fans for what they are, and they're Phillies fans through and through, and that's what makes this place so special. So I'm not on the Phillies anymore, so I'm not expecting really anything.
If you get a positive reaction, do you think it'll cause some emotion for you?
Probably. I've seen the guys that have come back that have given positive receptions, guys like Reese, and obviously I saw how special that was for him. Even though my time here wasn't as long as he was here or anything like that, this place does something special to each guy that kind of puts on the Phillies uniform, and I'm excited to just be back and to be in the atmosphere again.
Just being back here kind of remind you of that day when you broke the batting practice at Bryce Harper and how that changed your life.
Yeah, definitely. So many different things have been kind of through my head, since I got off the plane here. So definitely those moments were a big part of my career and helped me get to the point that I'm at now. There are a lot of good times here, so it'll be special when I get back out there.
How do you think you're able to just pull everything
together? That's a good question. I think being a part of a clubhouse like that definitely brings out the best in guys. You're watching guys like Bryce and Trey and Schwarber perform on a nightly basis, and you don't want to be the guy that messes those nights up. I think that kind of brings the best out in you. And then obviously, like I felt every night when I was on the mound how much it meant to the people that are in the crowd. To be a part of something like that is awesome. And we didn't accomplish the goal that we wanted to accomplish while I was here, but every night you feel how much it means to the whole city. So I think that probably played a big part in how I pitched. Yeah, in 2023, I was on the mound against the Pirates when I got us back in the dugout and Rojas came through. Rojas and Pache came through and got that last run across to get us to the playoffs. And that was the first time that I had been a part of a playoff run where I was pitching in meaningful situations and stuff like that. And that was a big step for me in my career is getting to that point, getting into the postseason, then pitching in the postseason, and just doing my best to help us get as far as we could.
Jordan kind of went through the same thing in Toronto last week. Were you able to observe anything from the video celebration?
Definitely. Obviously, he's a huge part of what the Blue Jays have accomplished over the past few years, and him being from right down the road in Toronto, and it's cool to see the reception that he got, and I was definitely happy that he got to kind of soak it in and to really feel how he meant to the team and to the city.
Your teammates with Spencer Knuckle, and I know it's great.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, he pitched really well for us the first time out the other day, and it's going to be great to get him some innings, and he's a guy that can really help us. So we're looking forward to getting him back out there and getting as many innings as he can. And like I said, if he pitches the way he can, then he's going to be a big help for us this year. I play catch with one of our pitching coaches. I don't know if anybody will ever come close to the catch partner that he was. It was kind of crazy because me and him, neither of us throw a lot pregame, so kind of just fell into it. And the first day I was here, he was like, "Hey, I need a catch partner. I don't throw a lot." I was like, "Perfect. I don't throw a lot either." And they kind of just took off from there. Playing catch with a coach, he doesn't need to throw a lot. So I know that I can just do whatever I need to do just to be ready for the game. So, miss playing catch with him, but, I still get the same thing at a pregame. So.
Have you checked in with Strom on whether Kirkering's listening to him like you told him?
I get text messages here and there telling me to check in on him. I always usually send back. It's not my problem anymore, Orion's great, and obviously, he still is so young, and it was cool to have a guy like that was so talented and just kind of needed a little bit of guide rails, and Matt did the majority of it, but, he's got a super bright future ahead of him, and just pretty much as long as we can just guide him in the right direction, he's gonna have a great career. So
there's Jeff Hoffman, who is returning to Philadelphia with the Blue Jays, talking about Kirkering and Matt Strom. And if you get a chance, do some reading on kind of the relationship of those three. They sort of had to take him under their wing, and sometimes, shall we say, the wing needed to be a little needed to be a little bigger than other times. But look, for Jeff Hoffman, it's got to be special going back there. And I don't know what the reaction would be, Tim. They talked about Reese Hoskins' reaction. He came back there. I mean, they gave him a prolonged standing ovation. I think it's one of those things. Cheer the first time you come out, and then they'll boo your ass the rest of the time.
Yeah, most of the time when you're getting booed, that means you're good.
And also, you know what? Leaving, it's different, dude. You leave as a free agent, and it was pretty clear the team wasn't going to sign you. That's a lot. It's different in that marketplace when, if you leave just because you didn't like the place. I think Philly's one of those markets where, people know what's going on.
They didn't want him back. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. It's not his fault, but, I mean, it's the Philly way to boo everybody. So I'm sure he'll get what he gets the first time, and then after that he's going to get booed.
And what he was talking about, the bullpens in Philadelphia, the bullpens are stacked. So the visitor's bullpen is closer to the fans, and it could be quite a trip. Warming up in front of with Philly fans hanging over the side. But anyhow, that was Jeff Hoffman earlier today. And again, 6:45 will be the first pitch. Let's step away. We've got tickets to give away. And when we come back, we'll also be joined by Bob Nightingale, national baseball columnist with USA Today. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's The Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Blair and Barker. We're a little more than an hour away from first pitch as the Jays will take on the Philadelphia Phillies, the first game of a three-game series. We'll be joined in a few seconds by Bob Nightingale. First, we've been giving you the chance to win Blue Jays tickets all season long here in Blair and Barker. All you have to do is text the correct answer to our daily baseball trivia question to 590-590. Standard message and data rates may apply. Our last question and answer was, he was a top prospect who made his major league debut with the Blue Jays, but he wasn't drafted by the organization. His father also played in the majors and was a Cy Young Award winner. He played parts of seven seasons in the majors, the majority of them with the Blue Jays, with Arizona being his final stop. He played one game with the D-backs. The answer was Kyle Drabek. Today's question is to win tickets to see the Jays and D-backs at the Rogers Center on June 19th. He's a three-time All-Star who played 18 seasons for six major league teams. He enjoyed two separate stints in Toronto and played for Arizona in between his time with the Blue Jays. He finished his career with the Phillies and is currently an MLB broadcaster. Again, he's a three-time All-Star who played 18 seasons for six major league teams. He enjoyed two separate stints in Toronto and played for Arizona in between his time with the Blue Jays. He finished his career with the Phillies. And is currently an MLB broadcaster. You can text the answer to 590-590 for your shot to win. See rules at sportsnet.ca/590. As always, standard message and data rates may apply. Let's bring in Bob Nightingale. He's the national baseball columnist with USA Today. Bob, thanks so much for your patience while I read that little ticket giveaway. I kind of Andy Reid-ed the time clock in the last segment there, so... I apologize.
No problem.
So the Jays have been awfully hot lately, to say the least. Are you hearing any more about the Jays on the trade market as a result of their, you know, their recent run of success?
You know, just when you talk to different GMs, they expect their Jays to be aggressive. You see, when jobs are on the line, you know, you're going to be aggressive. It's like, you know what? I don't know if these prospects will be around if I'm still here, so let me win right now. But, you know, you're hearing the same thing with the Cubs, you know, last year the contract there, in different places as well. So, no, people expect the Jays to be, you know, be aggressive. Not reckless, but aggressive.
Bob, who's do you think is going to be the most aggressive team in the National League?
I go Philadelphia Phillies just because of Dave Dombrowski. I think this his team's built to win now, and I, you know, they've been in the playoffs year after year, haven't won the World Series. I think anything less than a World Series appearance would be catastrophic for these guys. I think the ownership will go nuts because they spent a lot of money in this team, a lot of star players, and not to make the World Series would be very tough for them as well.
You know, we had Ruben Amaro Jr. on a little earlier. We were talking about the Phillies and their lack of production this year, and especially in terms of the right-handed hitting. They're just, I mean, they're on pace for like 64 home runs from their right-handed hitters, which would be just well off what they've averaged in recent years. And here in Toronto, like, the recent run of success has, I think, kind of removed a bit of the focus away from the lineup onto the pitching staff. And I'm wondering, in general, it's easier to get pitching at the trade deadline than it is an impactful hitter, is it not?
Yeah, there's just not that many, you know, big-time bats out there. You know, everybody's kind of scrambling. You know, there's enough relievers, some starters out there. But, you know, you look around, I mean, who's going to be the most impactful bat? You know, is it, you know, Eugenio Suarez, maybe, you know, from the Diamondbacks, a third baseman, or a or, you know, Josh and the other, their first baseman. They're just not guys. You know, Ryan McMahon of the Rockies is struggling. The White Sox will give away Luis Robert. But there's not that many big-time bats out there.
Bob, let's flip it over to the American League. What do you think the Red Sox do?
I think they pretty much stay pat. I think they're kind of in no man's land. I don't think they want to give up on the season because let's face it, I mean, this is probably the weakest AL East it's been in a while. And so I think they say, you know what, we can't give it up. We got young kids anyway. It's not like, you know, they need to get prospects and rebuild. So I think they kind of stay pat. You know, they don't really go for it, but they don't surrender either.
Okay, people outside of Toronto and Canada, what are they how are they talking about the Blue Jays? Are they good? Are they okay? Are they legit? Is this run for real? How do they talk about the Blue Jays?
I think people think, you know, pretty much that they're legit, that they've, you know, underperformed, underachieved the last few years, you know, a little bit like the Seattle Mariners, but it's time to win there. And I think everybody thinks that they better make the playoffs or some, who knows whose head's going to roll, but there's going to be some heads rolling for sure. So I think they think it's a very legitimate team. The American League is down. The AL East is down. So it's there for the taking. You know, if not, I'm not saying they're going to overtake the Yankees, but certainly there's no reason why they should not be in the postseason as a wild card team.
Bob, I know that you keep pretty close tabs on what goes on the West Coast. How do you think Shohei Ohtani and his desire to pitch this year is going to work out? How are they going to sort of thread that needle? Or maybe it isn't a needle that needs to be threaded. Maybe it's very straightforward, and he's going to pitch when he's ready to pitch.
To tell you the truth, I think he would have been ready to pitch on opening day. I think, you know, they've slow played this thing all along. Granted, you know, when he hurt his shoulder in the playoffs, you know, that set him back. You know, maybe he would have been ready in April. But I think they've slow played this thing so much, like, you know what? We want this guy healthy in October because he can be a big-time bullet. So when he comes back, he's not coming back before the All-Star game or anything like that. Maybe late October, early August, I would think he'd certainly be back by. And then he's probably going to make, you know, three innings to start, four innings to start, you know, once a week, and go from there. They don't want to go through what they did last year when they got very lucky, you know, going into October with only a three-man rotation.
Do they have any idea? Look, they're such a smart organization. Do they have any idea why they've had so many pitching injuries? Like, have they done? I've got to think they've had to have done some sort of deep dive into it. It can't be fluke.
No, they're trying to figure it out. But, you know, it's almost like what Tampa does. I mean, it's like you get these guys, you know, chew them up, spit them out. Hey, everybody knew Tyler Glass now was injury prone from Tampa. And then they thought, okay, we can fix him, make sure he's healthy. Well, it didn't work. Blake Snell, you know, we've seen that act over and over, you know, not pitching a full season. Same thing. So, you know, some of these things are inheriting guys with injury history, and, you know, maybe they think they can fix them, and they can't. So that's the big thing. Now, Sasaki, you know, the kid everybody wanted, the scouts that went over to Japan say he's just not the same. They think he's hurt, that, you know, he's going to need some type of surgery. You know, he's been sidelined for about a month. You don't hear anything about him. But, you know, he's a guy that's throwing 101, 102 in Japan. Now he's, you know, pitching 94, 95 in the U.S.
Bob, do you think the Astros are any good?
I do. I think they're solid. I think the AL West is weaker than it's been for a while. You know, I think the, you know, Seattle Mariners, you know, their pitching has kind of gone awry for them. So I think the door is open for the Astros. You know, my sleeper in that division, maybe my sleeper in the American League, is still the Texas Rangers. They got that starting pitching. Now they need some bullpen help for sure, but that offense is really underperformed. You know, at some point, I think they're going to step up and score runs. But if they get into the October, they could be very dangerous.
Yeah, and they started to hit a little bit against Minnesota. I'm with you. I think that's that team is. If they can find that ninth inning guy, or if they can find a couple of guys just to deepen that bullpen, I think I still think they have a shot to be the best team in the American League. I've thought that all year.
Wow,
I thought that at the start of the year, and yeah, I think they have a shot.
In the mix, maybe.
Yeah, I think they have a shot at being the best team in the AL. Got to stick with your preseason
pick.
Yeah,
I do too. I mean, only five games out, and I had him in the World Series too. I had them winning it all. And, you know, Bruce Bochy every other year, but that's why I think they'll be aggressive at the deadline too. It's like Chris Young's a very aggressive GM. This could be Bochy's last year, and they want him to go out on top of it if this is it.
Yeah. Bob, really good of you to join us as always. Thanks so much, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, you guys too. Take care.
See
you.
Bye-bye. That's Bob Nightingale of USA Today.
American League all over the place.
It's
everywhere. That's why it's impossible to figure out if the Jays are any good.
You said a month and a half ago that the MVP in the American League this year might be the GMs.
I'm sticking with it. Absolutely. Well, you mentioned the Astros, you mentioned the Mariners, you mentioned the Rangers, the Blue Jays, the Red Sox. Yeah. I mean, they're right there's five teams.
And I mean, you look at the Central. Minnesota might do something around the edges. I think Detroit. I think Detroit is going to be super
hitter,
super aggressive.
Yeah.
But again, as Bob said, this can change. It's June. What is it? June 13th, Friday the 13th. Happy Friday the 13th, everybody. I mean, this can change by the time the trade deadline rolled around. But all the reading you do, it's not like there's a lot of impactful hitters out there. Suarez seems to be the one guy. Josh Naylor from Arizona, those two guys, they could be there. Josh Naylor would be a nice piece for a team. Same with Suarez. But other than that, you're really not expecting to hear any hear of any hitters that are they're going to be out there necessarily.
I mean, the Tigers are tied with the best record in baseball with the Mets. I mean, they've been doing some heavy lifting.
What I will say, though, this is what I would say about the Tigers and maybe the difference between them and the Rangers for me. If it comes down to a playoff series and it's Tigers and Rangers, and for that to happen, the Rangers are probably going to have to – they're going to have started to hit. For that to happen.
Yeah.
They're probably also going to have figured out the bullpen if it comes down to a playoff series between those two. Who are you taking?
I'd take the Tigers.
Even with Texas's starting rotation? I mean, you've got Mr. Postseason, Nathan Eovaldi.
Well, I like the Tigers pitching better. I like the Rangers lineup better. Which one are you taking in the playoffs? 1 through 13, I like the pitching for the Tigers. 1 through 13, I like the hitters better for the Rangers. As a whole, I think the Tigers have been a little better. If they go out and make a move, that would probably change. Who's number one do you like better?
Well,
that's another thing, right? So there's some things there you like on both sides of the ball. I feel back to that GM thing.
I'd feel a little different if Jackson Jobe, wasn't undergoing TJ. I would feel a little different. I just think the Rangers – the fact that they haven't fallen off the face of the earth, if I was another American League team, would kind of scare me. Seattle's never going to get out of their own way. And now they've got all their pitching hurt. They're never going to get out of their own way. The only thing, somebody in the Central is going to, other than Detroit, is going to confuse things. Like Minnesota's always kind of doing some funky stuff. They're going to be there. I don't know about Kansas City, man. That may be a bit of a reach. Cleveland's Cleveland, right? They're going to look up at the end of the year, and
yeah, I think the door's wide open for the Jays. I think it's wide open for them to make a run here, like a serious run, not like one of those where it's nail biting. Are they going to get in? Or are they not in? Solidify their spot early,
figure out how
to run into the playoffs.
They're going to have to close. Yeah. They're going to have to close the gap in the Yankees a little bit more. And there's no reason to think that they can. All of a sudden, that series against the Yankees before the All-Star break becomes it's always going to be interesting, but. That becomes
well. They got the Red Sox. They got the Guardians. They got the Yankees. You get Max back. You get one of those two hitters back. Maybe Varsho's back. That would be nice before the All-Star break. You might have some pieces coming back that could help you win some games. Right? It's not two or three guys. It's nine guys, which is sort of the motto that the Blue Jays are sticking with. I don't know. It's never been right in front of you more than I think with the Jays than it is right now. I mean, they sort of got this thing lined up. Their bullpen's better. Their lineup as a whole is better. They always play defense and run the bases the way they're supposed to.
Would
make them better than most teams. No.
This is the best they've looked, do you think, since the Seattle playoff series? Where they that horrible series where they lost. And then of course they go into Minnesota in the playoffs. But is this the best you've felt about them?
since that, you know, that collision between Springer and Bo? Is this the best you felt about this team?
I think it's the best roster that I felt.
That's
about
fair. Yep.
Whether they're good as a whole on the team. I mean, can Kirky keep doing this? Can Ernie keep doing this? Can Barger keep doing this? Does Vladdy need to do more? Absolutely. Can Vladdy do more? That's the big thing. Mm-hmm. Can he do it for like a month at a time? Can he just say everything that I hear, I'm doing damage on? I don't know. I think that's the million-dollar question. Come back to me and ask me that question when he starts doing that. But I think as a whole, 1 through 13 on that side, 1 through 13 on that side, I think that is a whole 26 guys, everybody pulling in the same direction. Yeah.
Do you think that this, if this thing goes the way it's gone, continues to go the way it's gone, and if, I understand, there's two ifs here, if Max Scherzer comes back, do you think this has the potential to be a relatively easy trade deadline for Ross Atkins, and that he'll, you know, they'll know what they need. Like they're going to need, and
I think they know.
They'll need one more piece compared to maybe
you don't
three
know already?
Or four.
Man, I'm pretty sure I know already. I want bullpen arms.
Yeah.
I want power plays. You again. I ask you, do you trust Hoffman in the ninth inning? If the answer is, I got to think about it. I'm not talking about regular season. If the answer is I have to think about it, then I got to go out and get me somebody who's been there and done it before who can pitch in the eighth inning. If I can pitch him in the eighth inning because he's been there and done it before, I can pitch him in the ninth inning if I have to. And they've shown you in past experiences that they'll do whatever it takes to win a playoff
game. What you really need to have happen is you need to have somebody like Aroldis Chapman or Joanne Duran come onto the trade market all of a sudden.
That'd be nice.
Was passing floating out Aroldis Chapman the other day?
He was. I think he said Jays and that name.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure if that'd be a good fit or not, but, I mean, eighth and ninth inning power, striking people out, not a pocket guy. That's where it's at. I just, again, Vladdy sooner or later is going to have to do something. I mean, what he's done is okay, but it's okay. They need better than okay. If they get that, then you're running into the playoffs. You're not fighting and clawing to get into the playoffs. Big, giant difference. One of the two's got to get hot, yes? That's Tony or Vladdy. One of the two.
I think it's down to Vladdy. I think Vladdy has to get hot.
One of the two. I mean, what Vladdy. If Tony came back and, say, hit 22 homers? 20 to 25, that's doing something. That's thumping. That's nice.
Before we wrap this up and put a bow on it, let's just kind of revisit Kevin Gausman a little bit. He is starting tonight against Ranger Suarez. What are you going to be looking for early with Kevin Gausman that's going to make you think, okay, this is a continuation of the run of form we've seen from him in the past, four or five starts?
Action with the split finger early counts and the velocity. If he gets those two things, he'll give the lineup a chance. That's all you can do on the road against the Phillies, especially against the lefty they're facing, who they haven't faced this year. So that's the two things, velocity and early counts with the split finger. He gets those two things, action, whatever that action is, called strikes. He's getting a little, not a ton of it, mm-hmm. getting enough for you to have to respect that now because it's carrying the zone. And the difference in speeds between the two pitches is a big deal too. So if you get those three things, attacking the zone, he's throwing enough strike ones, it to a career rate. Pound the zone, do that with the split finger. You just mentioned the woes that the lineup's having for the Phillies. She said, attack. Be attack mode. Have the velocity you're having. Be good enough with a split finger. He'll give the lineup any chance that they have to. And the lineup for me, traffic.
Just get traffic on.
Traffic. Again, I say that, and I've been saying it for a couple of weeks now. It's the at-bats with runners on base. Forget about scoring position.
Yeah.
Runners on base. The more traffic they can put on the bases, the better chance that they got of one of those guys. Kirk, Clement, Vladdy, Barger, maybe not today, but
and
one of them guys to having that big time at bat to win a baseball game. That's what they do.
You are playing a team with a defensively challenged outfield as well, so perhaps you get a lot of activity in the bases in addition to having an impact in the pitcher.
Pressure, make him make the play.
Make him make the plays, exactly. That is it for us for today and for this week. We will be back Monday. We will be doing Blue Jays Talk following tonight's game. Going to be a winning edition? Right. Of the optimism. Have a great weekend.